She is going to pursue a degree in music, and make sure that you tell her that you're praying for her as she moves forward, and we appreciate her faithfulness and her help in the music ministry here at our church. Let's take our Bibles together, if we could, and let's look at the book of Isaiah in the 66th chapter together. Isaiah chapter 66. And we have preached through, studied through, prayed through the entire book of Isaiah. We're at the 66th chapter, and we are going to look at really just a message here to look at the overview of Judah and their heart, and we'll look at, we're going to kind of have a couple of messages from this wonderful chapter as we conclude this wonderful series. Isaiah chapter 66, and notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things have mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to look at it, to preach it, to learn from it. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us, each of us, to have an attitude of an honest heart towards your word. Lord, we believe that your word is our authority, and we believe it to be truth and true for our life. And so I pray, Lord, you would help us to tremble at your word, to respect it. And I pray you would help us to follow it. I pray that your word would be glorified in our lives. I pray you would bind Satan and his demons. We know that the devil is real, and he wants to keep your word from falling on good ground, from growing in our hearts. And so I pray the devil's work would be stopped. I pray your work would abound, and may you be glorified. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God, who is great and mighty, is what we find in the very first verse of chapter 66. We've been looking at Judah and their rebellion against God. And as we've studied through the book of Isaiah, one thing is sure, that Isaiah writes here that Judah had opportunity, Judah had truth, Judah knew the way, but they had made a choice to go their own way, to follow their own pathway. And God here in chapter 66, as he concludes this wonderful book, he's speaking out to Judah once again and giving them opportunity once again to get their hearts right with him. And he begins in verse 1, he says, "Listen, God who is great and mighty, the God who made everything, the God who spread the heavens and formed the earth, the God who made us and deserves glory and deserves praise." Here he says, God is not pleased with your life. God is not pleased with your mere actions. God desires a true heart. God desires an honest heart. And within their religious acts, their rebellion was shining through. Within their words, within their actions, all of it did not bring glory to the God who deserved glory. Their sacrifices was deplorable. Their offerings were insulting to God. God said, "You have chosen your own way. You have rejected me. You have rejected what is good and what is right, and you've decided to follow your own pathway." And within this passage of Scripture, we notice the plea of God is for this people to have an honest and true heart. I want us to turn, if we could, to the New Testament and find the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Would you turn there with me? 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, you should find one in front of you. And we want you to know that this is not the opinion or creed of our church, but this is what God says in His Word, and this is truth for our life. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy. This is who the letter is written to. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abode still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, but rather godly edifying, which is in faith so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity or love, owed of a pure heart, of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. God wants our Christian life to be lived from a pure and an honest heart. And oftentimes we think that if we're honest with ourselves or if we're honest with God, that it's going to end in disaster or it's going to end in chaos. But God teaches us that this is where the rewards of faith are found. I recently read a story of a young man who had worked for years on the railroad, and he wanted a job as a signalman for that exact railroad. And so for his interview, he was told to meet the inspector at the signal box, and the inspector asked him, "What would you do if you realize that two trains are heading toward each other on the same track?" And that young man said, "Well, that's easy. I would switch the points of one of the trains." And the inspector then asked, "Well, what if the lever is broken?" And the young man said, "Well, then I'd jump down out of the signal box and I'd use the manual lever over there." And next the inspector said, "Well, what if that lever had been struck by lightning?" And the young man said, "Well, then I would run to the signal box and I would phone the next signal box and let them know what was happening." And the inspector continued on. He says, "Well, what if the phone was busy?" And the young man said, "Well, then in that case, I would rush down out of the signal box and I would use the public emergency phone, and there I would contact the next signal box." Then the inspector said, "Well, what would you do if that public emergency phone was vandalized?" And the young man says, "Oh, well," he says, "then I would run into town and I would get a hold of my uncle." And the answer puzzled the inspector. He says, "Well, why in the world would you call your uncle?" And the young man answered, he said, "Well, it's simple, because he's never seen a train crash before." I mean, that's the end of it right there. And oftentimes in our life, we think that honesty with God or honesty with ourselves produces this type of wreck, and that our life would never be the same. And yet God says that if we are honest about our spiritual condition, it doesn't cause chaos. It doesn't cause a train wreck. In fact, it builds bridges. It improves our lives. It corrects us. It connects us. And it helps us to get onto the pathway that God has set out for us. The psalmist said in Psalm 51, verse 1, this is David's prayer of repentance to God. He had spent a year of his life in sin, and he comes to the end of that railway. He comes to the end of that track, and he's honest with himself, and he's honest with the God of heaven. And he writes in Psalm 51, verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned," all sin is against God, "and done evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. The man, the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked, who can know it? And David understood that. David understood, and in fact, David proved that very verse to be true in his own life. And when the hour of fierce assault came, when the fire of temptation burns and blazes in his soul, the reality is all other considerations tend to be thrust aside. In that very moment of temptation, in that very moment to follow our own pathway, we don't think about the consequences. We don't think about down the road where it could lead us. We are blinded by that sin. And when David had Bathsheba in his arms, nothing else mattered in that one fateful hour. He who had written a dozen psalms was blinded by his own sin. And in that very moment, David was living a lie. He was living a lie not only to others, but he was living a lie to himself. He followed his own pathway, and David recognized that God desired truth in the inward parts. He wants us to be honest with ourselves and with him. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's a promise in the Bible. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. And James says, and lie not against the truth. Be honest. And honesty is important. Honesty is important in every area of our life. In Acts chapter 3, verse 3, as the church was being formed and founded, the Bible says to look out seven men of honest report. The Bible teaches us that among the world, we as Christians ought to have our conversation, that's our life, honest among the Gentiles. The reality is that we are to live honest lives. A rancher asked a veterinarian for some free advice. He said, I have a horse and he walks normally sometimes and he limps sometimes. What should I do? And the veterinarian said, well, the next time he walks normally, sell him. That's not honest. A little boy was sent by his mother to buy a 65-cent loaf of bread. Obviously, this illustration was written a long time ago. 65 cents for a loaf of bread. I don't think you'll find that today. And while the baker was putting the bread into the bag, the boy noticed that the loaf looked rather small, and he said to the baker, he said, isn't that a small loaf of bread for 65 cents? And the baker said, well, you'll have less to carry. And the boy put 50 cents on that counter, and the baker looked at that and said, hey, aren't you short 15 cents? And the boy says, well, now you'll have less to count. Honesty. Judah wasn't honest before God. And they weren't honest with themselves. They had deceived themselves. They tried in their life to mock God. And we find in the book of Isaiah that God is reminding them that God is not mocked. And that what you sow, you're going to reap. And it's so important to live our life with a true, honest heart. What does it mean for us to have a true, honest heart? Where does it bring us if we are honest with ourselves and with God? Well, first of all, I want to say this, that if we are honest with God and ourselves, then it brings agreement with God. agreement with God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Would you turn there? Matthew chapter 26. And notice what the Bible says in verse 14. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 14. The Bible says this, Matthew, the 26th chapter, verse 14, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenant with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him." Now, we're talking about Judas Iscariot, and Judas pretended to be a disciple. He wasn't honest with God, nor was he honest with himself. And the Bible says the entire time that Judas spent with Jesus, the Son of God, the creator of this world, he sought for opportunity to betray him. He sought for the chance in his life to stab the Son of God in the back. But listen to me, Jesus knew the real Judas. And it really comes down to understanding that we can lie to ourselves and we can pretend that we're different and we can pretend that we're someone else, but God knows who we are. Matthew 26, verse 25, "Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said." In other words, Jesus said, "Yes, it is, Judas. I agree with you." I hope that we're not fake this morning. And that's not the message I want to send out this morning. But the reality is that if we spend less time in our life looking at other people's lives and calling other people liars and calling other people cheaters and other people bad Christians, if we would spend more time asking God, "Is it I?" then I just believe that we would be better off in our Christian life. If we would just be honest with God and have the prayer of the psalmist, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting," then as we agree with God, he will help us and direct us. You know, Psalm 139 is truly a prayer of agreeing with God. And God already knows our sinful heart, and God already knows our sin. And as we confess our sin, by the way, the word confess in the Bible means to agree with God or to name as God names. And so as we agree with God with our sin, the sin that he already knows that's in our heart, then God helps us to overcome that. Several years ago, I was in my office, and I was looking down at the pond at the back of our property, and there was this massive tree there, and it's still there. And I remember looking out at that tree thinking, wow, that is just a beautiful, gorgeous tree. That is just a symbol of strength and power, and what a wonderful tree that is. And I remember just, you know, going on and on thinking about how wonderful this tree was and how strong it looked. And then one day I was working down at the back property and I came close to that tree and I noticed that that tree was completely hollow. It was not a symbol of strength. It actually was a symbol of weakness. And from afar, we can look like strong Christians. From afar, Judah looked like they had everything in order. They were doing everything they should do. And yet God calls them out and says, "Listen, you are not of an honest heart. You are not of a right heart, of a good heart. And you are following your own pathway and doing your own thing." Here's a Bible quiz for you. If you're a Bible student, I want you to think in your mind of your favorite Bible character. I hope you have one. And I want you to think in your mind of your favorite Bible character, and I want you to find the moment in their life when they were honest with God. Think about Isaiah for a moment. We've just studied through the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. And in the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Isaiah speaking, woe is me, for I am undone. When he came face to face with the God of heaven, I mean, he realized how far away he was. I am undone. I don't deserve to be in the presence of God. I think of Peter for a moment. Peter is sitting on a ship, and he saw the incredible work of God, and he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Honest with God. Listen, friend, if you're not a Christian today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then what is keeping you from putting your faith in Christ and Christ alone? What is keeping you from trusting in Christ to save your soul and to give you eternal life? I'll tell you the answer: honesty with God. Agreeing with God, I am a sinner, I am undone, I cannot save myself. Christ, you are the only way to heaven. You are the only way that I can be redeemed and to accept God's pathway. As we are honest with God, we see that we agree with God. But secondly, let's think about this. It also clears our spiritual vision. It clears our spiritual vision. Honesty with God helps us to see spiritually better. I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke. Would you turn there? Luke chapter 37. We talk about Judah and their condition. And they could not see spiritually correctly. I mean, they were following their own pathway. And they were calling that pathway good and right and wholesome. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Luke chapter 6, verse 37, the Bible says, judge not. This is the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the 37th verse together. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. In other words, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Verse 41, the Bible says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Why, here's, if I could paraphrase it, why are you not honest with God? And why are you not honest with yourself? You are pointing fingers at other people saying, this is terrible in their life, this is terrible in their life, and yet, here, God is saying, you cannot see properly. Your vision is blurred. Verse 42, either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly. See clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. The word hypocrite here in our scripture, it means to play the part. If you ever watch someone acting and they're playing a part, you could say, hey man, you're a hypocrite. You're playing a part. And that's what a hypocrite is. They're playing a part. They're not honest with God. They're not honest with their condition. They're pointing out sins in other people's lives, but they're letting things slide in their own life. And God is saying, listen, this is not acceptable to me. You can't see clearly to help someone else when you don't look at your own life. And when we think about seeing clearly, the Bible gives us important truths about seeing ahead or seeing clearly in our life. First of all, we need to see the destruction that lies ahead. I want you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I prayed about preaching through the book of Jeremiah after the book of Isaiah, but we're going to have a little break here from the prophets for a little bit, but we'll see where God leads. But the book of Jeremiah is a wonderful, wonderful book in the Bible. He's called the weeping prophet. His heart was broken because of the condition of his people. And Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31, notice what the Bible says. He's speaking here of the condition of Israel. He says, verse 31, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. In other words, they don't follow God, they do their own thing. And my people love to have it. Worse than all of that, worse than all of that is not a church that doesn't follow God and not a church that doesn't, you know, follow the Lord or a world that doesn't listen to the Bible. Worse than all of that is a people who wants it that way. And here the prophet said, listen, my people love to have it so. And notice what he says here. There's a question. And what will you do in the end thereof? You see, because every pathway of your life, every direction has a destination. And oftentimes we live our life and we enjoy the direction, but we don't realize that, wait a minute, this road's going to come to an end one day. And what are the consequences of my actions? What is this going to bring me? The Bible says that as we are honest with God, it clears up our perspective so we can see the danger that lies ahead. Proverbs 10, verse 29, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. We reap what we sow. We reap more than we sow. It's the principle of harvest. And the Bible says, listen, be careful of the direction of your life because you are not the exception of the rule. Everything applies to you. You're not going to get away with it. God says that every direction has a destination. And when we are honest with God, we can see the destruction that lies ahead. The reality is we need God's wisdom. And it's so important for us to have God's wisdom. The Bible teaches us that there are two types of wisdom that are available. There's wisdom from God and there's wisdom from the world. James chapter 3 teaches us that the wisdom from the world is sensual. It's focused on ourselves. And you hear the world, you hear, you know, the Hollywood and media promote this all the time. And it's basically do whatever feels good to you. Go your own way. Be your own boss. That is not godly wisdom. That is sensual. That is devilish, James says. But the Bible teaches us that wisdom that comes from above is not focused on us, but it's focused on glorifying God. It's focused on love and peace and truth and what brings us closer to the Lord. And this is achieved through just honesty with God. What does God have to say about where I am? Thirdly, and I'll be done, it prepares the heart to receive the word of God. Would you turn there, turn to Luke chapter 8 quickly now. Luke chapter 8. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 9. Honesty with God prepares our heart to hear the word of God. Luke chapter 8 in verse number 9, the Bible says this, verse 9, and the disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing ye might not see, and hearing that ye might not understand. Now, The parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And so there's one who is sowing seed. You can picture in your mind. Let's just use grass seed for an example. And you're planting grass seed. And there's some sidewalk. There's some gravel. And I don't know about you, but when I'm putting grass seed down, I'm not like, you know, very looking for the edges of my lawn. I'm just throwing it, right? And the Bible says just give out the word of God. And yeah, it's true that not everyone's going to receive the word of God, but we're not going to be partial. We're just going to give out the Bible, the word of God. We're going to tell people God's way. And the Bible says that the seed is the word of God, and it's planted in our life. Verse number 12, these be the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no roots, for which a while they believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But look at this. This is important. Verse number 15. I maybe you've never seen this before, but that on the good ground are they. And the Bible says, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. You see, when the word of God is given, there are those who say, that's not for me. There are those who are excited about the word of God, but the devil is there to remind them that their heart, their life is hard. And the Bible says that the riches of this world and the temptations of the world are there to choke them out, but there are those who have an honest heart. And the word of God is given, and they are honest with themselves, and they are honest with God, and they agree with God, and they say, yes, that is truth. The one who wrote the Bible is the one who made my heart, and I agree with the Bible. I need God in my life. And the Bible says an honest heart is usable soil in which the word of God flourishes and grows, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so with an honest heart, our faith grows, our walk with God grows as we are honest with God and ourselves. Now, Judah didn't have an honest heart. They didn't care what God had to say. They rejected God's way and they lived for themselves. They promoted their flesh and their desires. And the Bible says because of that, they ended up in a terrible position in their life. You know, I believe that if God is going to reward us, Christians, if God is going to reward us, he's going to reward us for how we live our lives in secret. When it's just you and God, and no one else can see. Isn't that what the Bible says? A prepared heart, an honest heart is where we are spiritually. An honest heart is where, you know, it's the attitude, listen, Lord, this is where I failed you. And I know I'm not where I should be, but I'm glad I'm not where I ought to be. And Lord, I know I have more growing to do. And Lord, I want you to prepare my heart. And I want honest soil and good soil so that your word grows in my life. Someone said this, dare to be honest, good, and sincere. Dare to be upright, and you never need fear. Dare to be brave in the cause of the right. Dare with the enemy ever to fight. Dare to be loving and patient each day. Dare to speak the truth, whatever you say. Dare to be gentle and orderly too. Dare to shun evil, whatever you do. Dare to speak kindly and ever be true. Dare to do right, and you'll find your way through. God, help us today to be honest with God. And so the question that the Holy Spirit is asking us is the soil of your heart today a good and honest soil? Are you honest with God this morning? Or maybe the whole time in my message, you're just thinking, I'm so glad that so-and-so heard this message. Boy, do they need it today. But what about you? Where do you stand with God today? Where is your heart? Where should you be? Where ought you be in your Christian life? God, help us today to make good decisions. And God, help us to be willing to follow where God leads us. If you're not a Christian this morning, then I want to say this. God loves you, and God cares about you, and God brought you here to be saved. He wants you to go to heaven, to be with him forever. And I'm going to be honest with you today that you are a sinner. You are separated from God because of your sin. You cannot enter into heaven. But Jesus died for you. He loves you. He paid for your sin. He died as you and for you. And you can go to heaven today, not based on the merit of Kitchener Baptist Church or not based on your own merit, but you can go to heaven based on the merit of Jesus Christ. And we would love to show you from what God has to say how you can go to heaven today, how you can have eternal life. God, help us today to be honest with God where we are this morning. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we know your word does not